about you this morning, but my heart's just a little bit full. Amen. Hearing my son sing that song for his mom, and then watching her pray with my daughter and my granddaughter in the altar. Men, that's priceless. Amen. That's priceless. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter number 15 this morning. I believe we are. Can you hear me back there? All right. Luke chapter number 15. I struggled all week long. I guess 21 years of preaching Mother's Day, I've preached about everything in the Bible that is to be said about mothers. And I tried to think of something that was different, something that we hadn't done. And the best thing I could come up with, Brother Freddie, is just to preach something that ain't even in the Bible. Amen. Have you ever walked around the mall or walked around town and you look at young people today and you wonder what's missing? Walk around the mall and look at some of these kids and I'm not judging anybody and I'm not being hard, but you look at all the piercings and the markings and I forgot what you call them things they put in their ears. Somebody help me. Gauges. Gauges goes on the dash of a car. A gauge is a tachometer or a speedometer. It doesn't go in your ear. Nicolette, our niece, had one on her phone the other day, and she showed me a guy had one of those in his face. I'm serious. It was about that big around. You could see his teeth on the side of his head. It was horrible. And when I look at those things I see this kind of stuff in our society, I'm thinking, where's your mom and daddy? Amen. Amen. If there's anything missing in our society, it is a parental influence. I wonder how many of you would be honest this morning and say, I'm probably here today because of mama. Somebody help me right there. I'm probably here today. People ask me everywhere I go. Everywhere. I got the best kids in the whole world. Katie is celebrating her anniversary today. They're on an airplane headed to somewhere in Florida and getting on a boat and going on a cruise with Tom and Bungeline. Amen. But anyway, seriously, I don't think they're on the same boat, but they are both on a cruise. But people ask me everywhere I go, so how did you raise such good kids? How did Levi turn out the way he did? How did Ashley turn out the way she did? How did Katie turn out the way she did? And my answer is always the same. I ain't got a clue. Ask my wife. Amen. Every one of you men would probably, every one of us has had some influence in our children's lives, but we need to stop sometime and just, like Levi sang this morning, thank God for mama. Amen. Thank God for mama. How many times have you looked at your own children and said, where is your mama? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Where is your mother? I remember Levi would load that diaper up when he was little. I could smell him coming down the hall. I'd say, honey. Amen. Somebody help me right there. Amen. Where's your mama? I want to preach from the Luke chapter number 15. I'm going to read the story of the prodigal son. And I want to preach about some things that is missing in the story. There are some things that may have been in place, but they're not mentioned. There are some things that may have been in practice, but they are not mentioned. There's a lot of things that ought to be in practice, that used to be in practice in the home, that no longer is. I think the heart, if we're going to preach on Mother's Day, I think the heart of every mother is her children. Amen. Amen. Most women, whether they would admit it or not, they put their children before their husband. Amen. Most of them do. They shouldn't. Amen. Amen. But they do. Those kids are number one. Our prayers from the time they're born. I'll never forget the day the doctor laid Ashley in my hands. I'll never forget as long as I live. It's been 30 years ago. Is that right? Almost. almost 30 years ago. July be 30 years. That doctor laid that little baby in my hands, and I'll never forget the words that come out of my mouth. I'll never forget it. I said, I don't know what to do with this. I do not know what to do with this. I've raised puppies. I've raised horses. I've raised calves. But I ain't never had one of these. And I said, God, you're going to have to help me. I wasn't even saved, but I remember praying in that hospital, God, you're going to have to help me with it. And we start praying from the time they get here that they turn out good. None of us have ambitions or dreams to see our children in prison or to see our children divorced and to see our children go through this and that and all the tragedies of this life. Hey, we pray that they turn out good. But it doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen by mistake. It doesn't happen by chance. Somebody said, do the best you can and hope everything turns out. That's not good advice. The best I can is not very good. But the best God can. Amen. We dedicate our babies here. The Lord gives us to them. We bring them to the altar and we give them back to Him. That's a pretty good idea. Amen. Look at Luke chapter number 15. And I want to read this story. And then I want to show you some things that I think are missing in the story of the prodigal son. We've all heard the story about the son who goes away and spends his inheritance and comes back and the father welcomes him home. How many of you are glad the father welcomes us home? Amen. 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 Thank God for that. Thank God for that. But I want to show you something this morning. It just jumped out at me a while ago. The Bible said in verse number 11, and he said a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now watch this next statement. And he divided unto, say the next word with me, them his living. Never saw that in my life. I've read that story over and over and over and over again. Listen, we praise the prodigal. Brother Tony Shirley preached a message here one time about the other brother. The other brother got exactly what the younger brother got. He divided unto them. While he was going ahead and dividing up the inheritance, the younger brother said, give me what's coming to me so I can hit the road and I can go party and live the good life. But he also gave it to the other brother. Thank God for the brother who never left. Amen. Ain't got nothing to do with my message this morning, but I just saw that. He divided unto them his living. Thank God for the brother who never left. I've heard him preach about the attitude of the older brother. Thank God the older brother just stood by daddy. Thank God the older brother stood by what he was taught. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 12, and the younger of them said to his father, verse number 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And when he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Boy, that story has a sad part, but it also has a good part. Thank God for the child that comes home. We've got some prodigals in the building this morning. We've got some who have wandered away from what mom and dad taught them as little boys and little girls. But because it's Mother's Day, in honor of Mother's Day, they're here as a favor to mom. You know what would really be a favor to mom? To see that son, to see that daughter get on their face and get right with God. To see that prodigal really come home. Amen. This would be a good homecoming day. Amen. Thank God for the prodigal who comes home. The sad part is they don't all make it. The sad part is they don't all make it. You walk through the graveyards and you'll find graves from that big all the way up. They don't all make it. They don't all make it. When they go out into sin, oftentimes they don't come back. When they put the methamphetamines in their body and the marijuana and the alcohol and on and on and on and on and the premarital sex and the diseases that come with that, and they go on and on. And oftentimes they go out into that far country and they never come home. Some of us this morning have a child that is sitting in this building with us. But we ought to shout the roof off. We ought to run round and round the building and cry glory, hallelujah. My children ain't in jail. They're not in hell. Thank God. Somebody ought to get happy this morning. I want to mention four things and we'll go to the house or go to Granny Faye's and eat fried chicken. How about that? Y'all are all invited. Mama's buying. Amen. Four things I found, or four things I did not found, or defined. I went to Paulding County High School, by the way. Four things I did not find in this story that is missing in the life of the prodigal son. Like I said, they may have been in place, but they're not mentioned. But I think there are four things that are very important in the life of a child. Number one, there is no preacher mentioned in this story. Not one time is a preacher mentioned in this story. How shall they hear? Without a what? Without a preacher. We please God by the foolishness of what? Preaching. Let me just reiterate the importance of a preacher in the life of your children. Amen. They need to hear preaching. It's more important than t-ball. It's more important than basketball. It's more important than ballet. It's more important than piano lesson. It's more important than violin lesson. It's more important than anything in the life of our children. They need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. People are choosing churches today because of the choices their children are making. I've had people actually tell me, Brother William, we're going to this church because the kids like the music. Do you let your children choose their doctor? Do you let your children choose their school? Amen. What was that school? They had one here in Villa Rica. Most stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. I forgot what it was called, but it was a school, and their whole emphasis was let the kids do what they want to do. Boy, I'd like a school like that. Hey, just let them, just turn them loose, let them do whatever they want to do. You're raising a bunch of retards. Are we okay right there? We're raising a bunch of idiots that cannot read, they cannot add, they cannot subtract. They're idiots. Hey, what I'm saying this morning, hey, we need to tell our kids what they need. Amen. Not ask our kids what their choice is. Amen. I would have never chose turnip greens. I would have never chose cornbread. It would have been hot dogs, man. It would have been ice cream for every meal. Amen. What do you want for breakfast? Chocolate ice cream. What do you want for lunch? Strawberry ice cream. What do you want for supper? All three. Amen. But we don't allow our children to make those choices. We choose what's right for them. Amen. We ought to choose the right kind of preaching for our children. Hey, I want my children to come up. I want my grandchildren to come up hearing that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and people who die without Christ will burn forever and ever and ever and ever. I don't know if there was a preacher involved in this boy's life, but it is never mentioned. Could be that the right kind of preaching would keep our children out of the far country. Could be that the right kind of preaching would keep our daughters out of the back seat of some boy's car. Could be that the right kind of preaching would save our children from a divorce lawyer. Could be that the right kind of preaching would keep our kids off of the methamphetamines. Hey, I don't want to see not one of our teenagers in the RU program. Not one. I'm for Brother Jason. I'm for everything he's doing. I've got his back 100% of the time. But it is not my desire to see one of our boys or one of our girls have to sit here on Friday night and struggle with the addictions in their life. Maybe before they get there, we can get them here. Amen. Sometimes you'd be shocked to understand what these kids are getting in these services. You think they're playing with the iPhone? And they are. You think they're eating cookies? And they are. But kids have an ability that we lost somewhere with age. They can multitask. They can listen to watch on the iPhone and play the game and hear everything Papa's saying from the pulpit. Hayden was little, I don't know, probably four, maybe 3 or 4 years old, and they were sitting back there. He was sitting with his Nina, and I was preaching. Hayden was back there playing with Sister Angie's phone, and I said naked while I was preaching. I said so-and-so was naked. And Hayden just stopped playing his game. He said, "Ha, Papa said naked." He just blurted it out loud, man. Right in the mouth. Hey, what I'm saying is they are hearing everything that is said from the pulpit. They're hearing that sin is wrong and sin will wreck your life. And they're hearing it over and over. They're hearing Jesus say, and you don't have to die and go to hell. They hear that thing. Oh, why do we baptize so many children? Because they're hearing the preaching of the gospel from birth. It always amazes me. Somebody can come in here with a new baby who hasn't been in church, and I start preaching, and that baby starts screaming. Yeah. But you take a little mother who's been carrying that baby 9 months in her belly and been here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that baby will sleep like a rock. I can stand in the pew with them. It doesn't faze that baby. Amen. Thank God for children who are growing up under the preaching of the Word of God. There is no preacher mentioned. Amen. I remember when I was little, Charles Williams was the gospel. Are y'all listening to me? I know sometimes we put men up too high or higher than we ought to put them, but brother, that was our man of God, and whatever he said, if that man told me to stand on my head, bless God, I stood on my head. Are y'all listening to me? That is our preacher. And we were taught to respect our preacher. Amen. He called me out while he was preaching. Eddie White. Come here, boy. You open your mouth again, I'm going to put a diaper on you and set you right here. Been there, got the t-shirt. No, the diaper, excuse me. Thank God for our preacher. There was never anything that I needed or anything that I needed to know that I didn't know that I couldn't go to my preacher. After we got saved, our church went through a major split and we changed pastors, and shortly thereafter we got Brother Earl Partain. Oh, how I grew under that man of God. Man, how I sit right there where you are, preacher, and I sat right there on that front row, and boy, he just preached and preached and preached, and I just took it all in. Thank God. God put a preacher in my life. I ain't much, but God's give you a preacher. Amen. I'll tell you the truth. Amen. I'm not trying to draw a crowd. I'm trying to keep one. I don't want to run anybody off, but I want to keep your children out of hell. I want to keep them out of jail. I want to keep them out of the RU program. Hey, bless God, we're going to preach truth. Amen. Till the cows come home. There's no preacher in this boy's life. There's no preacher in this boy's life. There's some people here I want to call names so bad I can't stand it. And I wouldn't do it. There's a young man in this service this morning I pray for every day. I guarantee you he knows one thing. He's got a preacher that loves him. Amen. There's no distance he can go. There's no depth that he can sink to that he's not in my heart. No preacher in his life. Well, we better thank God. I've been gone for over a week. Do you know what didn't go missing around here? Preaching. People call me all the time. Pastors who have to be away from their pulpit, they don't have anybody standing in their place. Man, I have to play eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I started just to buy a house up north. Sunday night, the service was over and my phone blew up. I couldn't get off one call for answering another. It never rang but one time, but I talked to 15 people. Stacy Bullock, my dear childhood friend, he said, "You don't even need to come home." Honest for God, that's what he said. He said, "Your boy's got it." He said, "You just stay up there where you at." He said, Levi's got it under control. You know what? Thank God. Thank God, even in my absence, the preaching of the Word of God still goes forth over this pulpit Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm glad we have the Patch Club. I'm glad we have the Pee Wee Club. I'm glad we have the teen service. But bless God, you ought to have your children under the preaching in this pulpit. Amen. Amen. Every now and then, you'll just bring them out of the nursery and say, "You're going to sit right here." Amen. Amen. They got to learn to sit in here sometime. Amen. Amen. I'm not against children in the service till they're disrupting. If they're disrupting, they're screaming, take them out. But if they'll sit there and be quiet, let them alone. Amen. Ain't nothing more precious in the world to me than seeing my little granddaughter down here praying with her mom. Amen. Man, that's awesome. Amen. There was a preacher missing in this boy's life. Let me tell you something else I didn't see. I didn't see any persuasion. I didn't see any persuasion in the life of this young man. Never one time. The Bible said that the boy came to his daddy and said, "Give me what's coming to me." And his daddy just gave it to him. Do you give your kids everything they ask for? Come on. Do you give your children everything they ask for? I was preaching for a guy. And he said, "I got to do some shopping. You want to go with me?" I said, "Sure." He said, "It's my son's birthday." I said, "What's he want?" I'm thinking bicycle. If daddy's got money, four-wheeler. Amen. Ball glove, bat. I said, "What's he want?" "A snake." I said, "Well, we going snake shopping?" He said, "Yeah, he wants a boa constrictor." I said, "And you gonna buy it?" He said, "Well, that's what he really wants." I said, "You're an idiot. You are a stark, raving, lunatic idiot. I can just see my son laying in the bed with a boa constrictor wrapped around his neck. You don't give your kids everything they want. Man, there's got to be some persuasion in their lives. Oh, just let the kids make their own choices. You're nuts. You are nuts, man. Let them make their own choices. We ought to have some persuasion in their life. There ought to be a mama somewhere saying, son, don't do this and don't do that. Son, please don't go and please don't hang out with Roger Bush. Amen. Brother Roger and I had a motto growing up. He did it. Amen. If we were at his house, I done it. If we were at my house, he done it. What we figured out was our mamas didn't care who done it. They'd beat the fire out of both of us. Amen. We had some persuasion. I remember the first night I spent the night with Brother Roger. Me and Roger Norman was laying in the bed and we was wrestling. We was all piled up in that one big iron bed. You remember that? And we got to fighting and Bunny Ruth hollered from the bedroom, "Y'all boys, hush in there." Well, we got quiet for a second, but you know, you just can't help it. That giggle thing gets cut on, you know. And we get to fighting again. She said, I said, hush. We got quiet for a second. One of us hit the other one. Here we went again. Here come Bunny Ruth in the bedroom. She opened up the closet and pulled out a Hot Wheels track. Anybody know what a Hot Wheels, orange Hot Wheels track? She snatched Norman up and began the thrashing. Me and Roger was laughing at Norman. Then she set Norman down, grabbed Roger, and began to thrash it on him. I'm sitting over there holding my mouth. She said, what are you laughing at, boy? You next. I found out Hot Wheel tracks were more than for racing. They leave pretty good racing stripes. Amen. Thank God for the right kind of persuasion. There are things in my mind that stand out, Brother Freddie, so clear to me. Such simple little things that made an impact on my life. I've told the story 1,000 times, but I like it, so I'm going to tell it again. I remember as a little boy in New Georgia Elementary School, Roger, you remember we traded all the time. We took stuff to school just to trade. This was back in the day when a boy could be a real boy and carry a pocket knife. Amen. That's sad. A kid can't carry a pocket knife to school. I had a Barlow pocket knife, Brother William, with a point broke off of it. Anybody remember Barlow pocket knife? Yeah. You could get them at New Georgia store for $3. I had one. We were sitting at the lunchroom table in New Georgia Elementary School. And a boy sitting in front of me reached in his book bag and pulled out a pack of bicycle playing cards. I'll never forget it. He did that, shuffled them things like that. I thought, man, that's cool. He fanned them out like that, and he said, pick a card. I picked a card. He said, don't show it to me. He said, hold it on your head. I held it on my head. He said, put it back in the deck. I put it back in the deck. He shuffled them things. He picked a card. He said, is that your card? I said, wow, that's my card. I said, teach me how to do that. I trade you this. And I didn't open it. I didn't want him to see it had a broke point. I said, I'll trade you this brand new Barlow pocket knife for them cards. And he swapped me. I got off a school bus every day at my great grandmother's house, Granny Faye's mama. I went flying in the door. Granny was standing at the kitchen counter at the sink with her little apron on. And I said, Granny, come here. Sit down. I got to show you something. Granny sat down at the kitchen table. I reached in my book bag, pulled out them bicycle playing cards. I said, pick a card. Granny said, oh, baby. I thought, what is it? She said, honey, those are wicked. She said, them cards is wicked, baby. They're a tool of the devil. They'll ruin your life. Playing cards. I'll never forget as long as I live. She took me in the living room, Brother Freddie. We burned coal instead of wood back in. And she set me down on her knee. She said, baby, I want you to watch something. She set me on her knee, Granny Faye, and she took them cards and she started shuffling them into that fire. She said, baby, I want you to watch them demons go up that chimney. Yeah. All of a sudden, that fire turned yellow and orange and green and red. I'm second grade, man. I don't understand. That's the ink in them cards. I see devils going up that chimney. Let me tell you something, honey. I ain't never lost a dime of gambling. Why? Persuasion. Persuasion. We need to persuade our children. We need to point out sin and say, honey, that's wicked. Try it. Say that word with me. Wicked. Wicked. We ought to practice it more. We ought to look at these alternate lifestyles and say it's not a lifestyle, it's wicked. We'll just call sin what it is and say, hey, it's a sin and it'll wreck your life. There's a preacher missing in this boy's life and there's some persuasion. My son sitting on the platform with me, no greater honor in my life. But if that boy come by the house this afternoon and said, Dad, whatever you're going to give me when you die, go ahead and let me have it. I'm leaving Cora, and I'm leaving Mason after I get through beating you. You leave that woman, you an idiot. I don't think I'd just get out the checkbook and say, okay. I believe there'd be some pleading. Son, don't do this. Son, don't go this direction. Son, please don't do that. There was some preaching missing in this boy's life. There was some persuasion. I know you've probably talked till your lips are blue, but don't give up. Don't give up. Your children still need you. Hey, if you've got a child with you in church this morning, there is hope. There is hope. I guarantee you there ain't a kid here today that would look at his mother in the face and say, nope, I won't go pray with you. Amen. Guarantee you. Amen. Guarantee you if mom would look and say, baby, will you go pray with me? They'd come. Amen. Don't quit persuading. Amen. Don't quit pleading. Amen. Man, my mother calls me on the phone. And that's one conversation where my voice gets rest. Because I don't get to say a word. Uh-huh, yep, yep, uh-huh, yep, uh-huh, uh-huh, okay, uh-huh, yep, uh-huh, uh-huh. That's the whole conversation, uh-huh, uh-huh, yep, uh-huh. Sometimes I just lay the phone on the dash and go, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh. Don't even get up. She's fixing to rebuke me right here. Sometimes I wonder, Pam, where would we be? If it wasn't for our mama. Amen. I wonder how many times my wife calls her my assistant pastor. She said, Brother Charles thinks he's your assistant. She said, it's really your mama. My mama does. Boy, she reminds me, you need to do this, you need to do that. I'm 49 years old. 49. And my mama still calls me about every day. Have you done this? Have you done that? Do you know so-and-so's in the hospital? Blah, 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 blah. She reads Facebook just to call me. Seriously. But I'm 49 years old and I still appreciate Brother Terry every single phone call, every single reminder, every nagging little word. Thank God. Thank God for a mama who will persuade her boy to do right. Don't stop. Don't stop. If they're not dead and in the grave, mama, keep on, keep on, keep on. Well, I don't want to drive them away. Drive them, drive them, drive them. Aggravate the fire out of them. Burn their phone up. Light their Facebook up. Call them every single day. If you can't say nothing but I love you, no matter where you are, what you're going through, your mama loves you. There was a preacher missing in this boy's life. There was persuasion missing. I'm just telling you what ain't. I told you I'm going to preach something that ain't even in the Bible. There was no persuasion. Listen, I'm almost done. There was no prayer. There was no prayer. Would have been cool. And thank God it turned out the way it did. Thank God. Some of our children are here this morning just by the grace of God. Amen. Because it sure wasn't by the amount of our prayer. It wasn't by the amount of our preaching. It wasn't by the amount of our persuasion. It was just the grace of God. But not one time does it show this old daddy and this old mama kneeled down beside their bed. Oh God, protect our boy. Oh God, keep our boy out of the sin. Oh God, keep our boy out of the jail. Oh God, keep our boy out of hell. Not one time is prayer mentioned in this thing. I tell you something we can do for our kids that the government can't stop, that they can't vote down. You and I, who know Christ as our Savior, we can pray for our children. There's kids in this church this morning that I've prayed for and prayed for and prayed for. And I believe you're here because God heard my prayer. God heard your little mama's prayer. Thank God we can pray. Thank God we can pray. I've told story after story about coming home after being out half a night with Terry and Stacy and these guys and doing God only knows what and coming home thinking I'd got away with it and sneaking down the hall. My bedroom door was directly across from my mom's. And I'd see that light up under her door and I'd think, ugh. I remember as well as anything hearing those sobs. God, protect my boy. Lord, don't let it. Man, you hear your mama pray for you? That'd change your life, friend. Amen. That'd make a night on the town feel really bad when you have to come home and listen to mama pray for you. I remember waking up hungover. Mama sitting on the edge of my bed with eggs and grits. You remember that? Come on, baby, you need to eat. Thank God for mama. Pray for a boy. Are you praying for your kids? I know we spend all the money to put them in this and enroll them in that, and we want them to have everything we didn't have. Are you praying for them? It won't cost you a dime. How many times have you fasted for your children? I remember one time Levi was in college. He don't even know this. He was having some trouble. Struggling with some things and some people that were in school. And I remember telling the Lord, Lord, if you'll help my son, I'll go 3 days, not eat, just seek your face and pray. About that fourth day, I called Levi. I said, son, how's it going? It's a lot better, Dad. He didn't know that. Till just, I ain't never told that. Thank God we can pray for our kids. I wonder how many ditches we've dodged. I wonder how many head-ons we've escaped. Because there's a mama somewhere praying for us. Terry, we ought not be here. No stinking way. We ought to be here. Thank God prayer wasn't missing in our lives. You said, boy, this ain't much of a Mother's Day sermon. Boy, it would be if you get a hold of it. There's no preacher mentioned in this boy's life. There's no persuasion. Not one time did that daddy say, please, don't. He said, well, I'm not pleading with my kids. You better. You better plead with them. You better. I'm talking about hands and knees. Baby, please don't please.
If they was fixing to pick up a rattlesnake, you would.
Yeah.
If they was fixing to put a bullet in their, a pistol in their mouth and pull a trigger, you'd plead.
Amen.
We ought to plead with them. There's no preacher. There's no persuasion. There was no prayer. There's one more thing that I find missing in this story, and I'm done. There's a parent missing. There's a parent missing.
Amen.
Not one time in this whole story is mama ever mentioned. Not one time is mother ever mentioned. I'm not saying she wasn't there. I told my wife about this last night. I said, I'm going to do something totally different. I said, but mama wasn't ever mentioned in that story. My wife said, maybe she died. Maybe she did. Maybe she was there. Maybe she was praying every day. I don't know.
Amen.
The boy did come home.
Yeah.
But she's never mentioned.
Right.
Mama ought to take a more active role in the lives of her children.
Amen.
We are living in a society that says get an occupation, work, make a lot of money. Listen, I don't preach against women working outside the home. I don't. I realize we live in a day where you can't hardly make it if you don't. But boy, we ought not to put those priorities over our children. Our children shouldn't know their babysitter better than they know their mama. Mama ought to sit down on that bed with them babies every night and read to them a story from the Bible, or I don't know, Dr. Seuss and the Cat in the Hat. But spend some time with your babies.
Amen.
Ashley, we were talking on the phone, I don't know, several weeks ago, and she had been so busy and she got a lot of responsibility on her job. She was going through this whole whining, moaning thing about what a bad mama she was. I said, no, that's what makes you a good mama. You realize how important your time with those babies are. Nobody has an influence in the life of your child like you, Mom. Nobody. Nobody. Levi sang that song this morning. He didn't say, thank God for Daddy. I ain't in the whole stinking song, first, second, third verse. I ain't even in that. Thank God for Mama.
Amen.
Thank God for Mama. When that boy fell down and got hurt, he didn't cry, Daddy. He knew I'd say, rub some dirt on it. You'll be all right.
Amen.
Come here and I'll help you up. Amen.
Yeah.
Mama. He'd that boy flip a tricycle more ways than you shake a stick at. He'd flip that tricycle in the driveway. Wouldn't even cry. I mean, no tears, no nothing, till he saw her. Oh, baby, baby. And then that lip start quivering. He's about to do it now, I guarantee. I throw him off his platform, he'll start crying. Amen. Just cause mama's right there. Now the song was, thank God for Mama. Thank God for Mama. You have a greater influence than you know. Maybe you've given up, but your prayers are heard. Every single day, your prayers are heard. What's missing in the life of the prodigal son? There's no preacher mentioned. Could have been that he's there. I don't know. He did come home. There's no persuasion. There's no prayer ever mentioned. And there's a parent missing.
Amen.
And that was Mama.
Amen.
God's put you here. God's give you the gift of a child.
Amen.
I heard an old black preacher say this years ago. It was on an old cassette, Terry, we used to listen to. It was the Hee Haw, the guys from Hee Haw. That old big guy that had the big baritone voice. He was singing a song about a little baby's funeral. Said the old black preacher got up and he said, God didn't give you that baby, not by 100,000 miles. He just thought you needed some sunshine. Amen. So he lent him for a while. Yeah. And those old silver tears you're shedding, well, they just interest on the loan. Yep. Hmm. They're his babies. He's entrusted them in our care. Oh God, help us to make sure those missing pieces are in place in the lives of our children. I don't want any acclamation and I don't want any applause, but you're to build up your preacher in the heart of your kids. If you're going to talk about me around the table, make it positive. I may be what's standing between them and hell. I may be standing between them and a drug addiction or a teenage pregnancy. Hey, build up your preacher. Every now and then you're to do this. Y'all know what this is?
Yeah.
I never got whippings in church. I got pinching. Mama gets you right on the inside, right there. Right there on the inside of you. Oh, Lord. I'm talking about it look like hickeys on my thigh. Where mama preach a pinch of fire out of me. Me and Roger back there playing hangman. Mama and Bonnie pinching us. You remember that? You know what mama would say? Shut up. You listen to the preacher. Listen to the preacher. How many times I heard it, Brother Freddie? Listen to the preacher. We used to keep score how many times they had hacked. You remember that? Curtis Cole would get up to preach and we'd start. That man could hack over 1,000 times in one sermon. Some of y'all looking at me like I'm foreign. You don't even know what hacking is. Hey, man, you didn't grow up here, did you? Hacking's when they suck wind. You know what I'm talking about? And the Bible said, boy, they hack between every. Amen. I can do it with the best of them. Amen. We'd count how many times they was hacking, Brother Todd. But you know what's so funny? All those times Mama thought I wasn't listening. All I was doing was counting the hacks. That New Year's Eve at my mother-in-law's house. And the Holy Spirit dealt with my heart. You know whose voice it was I heard? Charles Williams. I could see that finger all the way from White Oak Springs to Lawrence Road, pointing right down my nose. You gonna bust hell wide open, son? Thank God for the preacher. Thank God for the preacher. Thank God for the persuasion. Thank God. I used to tell Mama, she'd say, I worry about what people think. I don't care what people think. I said that 1,000 times. You can't hang out with so-and-so. I'd say, Mama, you can't choose my friends. I'm glad I allowed her some leeway. She's a pretty good judge of character. Thank God for Mama's persuasion. Thank God for Mama's prayer. Lastly, and I'm done. Thank God for Mama. Thank God for Mama.
Amen.
You say, my mama annoys me. Suck it up.
Amen.
You listening? You only get one.
That's right.
You better thank God for her. Mom, don't give up.
Amen.
Don't give up. Keep them under the preaching. Hey, it's best if you get them here like this right here. And keep them here all the way. Don't get mad at me and run off.
Amen.
Don't get mad at me and run off. Let's get in my office. Let's fight it out. Let's get it right. Whatever it is. Don't drag them out. Don't drag them out. The list is far too long. Don't drag them out. Keep them under the preaching. Keep persuading. Keep pleading. Keep praying. They're worth it. I wonder how many prodigals are in this room this morning. Any others? Just me. All over. No, wait a minute. I wonder how many older brothers are here this morning. Never left. Never left. Stayed in church. Stayed with the Lord. There's a bunch of them. And I thank God for them too. Let's stand on our feet this morning. Hey, Mom. Maybe you ought to grab that youngin' by the hand and say, let's me and you go pray. Or maybe that son or that daughter ought to grab Mama by the hand and say, Mama, would you pray with me one more time? Let's just mind the Lord. Levi, I want you to sing that song again if you would, son. Thank God for Mama. Thank God for Mama. Well, let's just mind the Lord. You need this altar? It's here this morning. Before he sings, I wonder if we could just bow our heads together. Nobody looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if there's one here today. Said, Brother Eddie, I'm not sure. If I died right now, heaven would be my home. I'd appreciate it if you'd pray for me. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you. He said, Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Please remember me. Anybody? Just stick your hand up and put it right back down. How about this morning? Brother Eddie, I am that prodigal son. I am that child who has wandered so far from where I'm supposed to be. I got a mom that loves me. I got a mom that prays for me. Brother Eddie, pray I'd find my way back. How about that? Hands up all over this place. Thank you. Pray I'd just make it home. Pray I'd get home. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name for a great day. Lord, thank you for a good mama. Lord, I didn't have dad much in my life, but Lord, she made up for it. And I thank you for her, God. Lord, the greatest treasure I know. Lord, I pray God, you just bless her special today. Lord, you saw the hands that were raised. And God, you know every heart. Lord, help the prodigal to come home. Lord, the boy said, I will arise. He made a decision. Help one to make that decision today, God. The choice is theirs. Lord, you're standing at the door waiting. Lord, you'll in no wise turn them out. God, help them to head in that direction this morning. Lord, don't let anybody leave here today lost without you. God, have your way in this altar call, and we'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.